Marconi.
You know, like I just sit here and I look at on the internet and I watch TikToks and I stare out my window.
Nick.
There's some hoes in this house.
Tiny.
I want cocaine and I want a prostitute and I want it in that order.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny.
Can I slap your ass?
Back together.
Greetings, podcast compadres. I'm Bolognese Francine Marconi. I'm here doing my part for the environment by being 100% biodegradable. You're welcome. And he's beautiful inside and out, just like a burrito. Say hello to Nick Miles.
Oh, especially my inside filling.
Your creamy innards. I like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh, man, you better be careful because this guy, he's going to parasail his way into your heart. It's Tiny.
Yeah, I did it.
You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes.
I'm on TikTok way too much. All these songs get coagulated in my brain. There's nothing I can do to stop them. I'm terribly sorry. We're back. Some of you have been concerned that we ended the podcast. No, we just took a little hiatus, and I feel like that's healthy. This whole thing with internet and thinking that you have to constantly be cranking out episode after episode and never stop to take a break and just, you know, breathe your apartment air that you've been isolated in for 8 months is silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not right.
No. So we're going to update you with what's going on with us. Andy has some stories from his vacation.
Yeah.
Nick, I noticed on his social media that he's getting a puppy. He'll talk.
It's not me that's getting a puppy. It's my parents, but it should as well be mine.
Right. I mean, because, you know, eventually it will be anyway, right?
I'll be puppy napping it.
So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. And at one time, this was a radio show, believe it or not. Can you believe they let this on the radio? Seriously.
No, I wouldn't.
And now we're back together. Reconfigured and awkward as ever, just like when a 90s sitcom would tackle a heavy issue. Remember how those were all weird, like on Saved by the Bell or something weird like that?
They did some really heavy-hitting subjects.
Like, tonight is an episode about STDs and you. What?
I feel a little bit misled. I thought it was going to be an episode about dryness.
Welcome to our weird world.
Hello.
My volume is way up. I don't have headphones.
Hello.
I have a microphone processor. Microphone processor.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
I got that part.
Just make sure your microphone is
an
overmodulated.
Hello.
Hear myself a little bit in your headphones.
I don't have headphones.
Headphones.
Hello.
Did you ever hear us
in your headphones?
I was mentioning this, the weird thing about on-demand content and the year 2040, that's what year it is, right?
I believe that's what I'm living in.
Might as well be, right? It's, to me, people get this sense of that you are on their demand if you're creating content, like on a regular basis, like a podcast. Like, hey, where's the new episodes? Somebody messaged me and said, hey, I noticed your last podcast was in September. When are new episodes coming? Now, I mean, that's a nice, you know, not that somebody even cared at all to ask that question. But at the same time, we did 20 glorious episodes. And I would much rather put out quality than quantity. Now, sure, we could try both. But but we know our limitations, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Nick, when you do content, because you're doing television and stuff like that, if you had to do, make a movie every single day, wouldn't you want to just die?
I am dead inside already, so we've got that covered. And,
right.
But, you know, television news, we produce 6 hours every morning from some 4 a.m. until 10 a.m. It's very difficult.
I feel like, because radio, you know, we did 5 hours a day of radio, and a lot of our show was, you know, talk, and we played a couple of songs here and there. But podcasting is different because we edit down the best moments to make it even better than radio, I feel.
Yeah, we're actually on the microphone for 24 hours and you get about 20 minutes out of that.
Right, right. And then like sometimes I'll think, you know, we aren't going to do a podcast this week. There's probably enough for like 12 other episodes on stuff we didn't use. But it's so, by the time it's not fresh anymore, so I'm like, well, I'll save that for the memorial episodes when one of us dies.
Yeah, which could be any day now.
I love that. I bet, I guarantee Nick, Marconi's got a folder on his desktop that says when Tiny's dead and when Nick's dead. Just ready to fire off some I guarantee it.
Well, he's thinking ahead.
I think of our brand, you know, whatever that is. It must continue on no matter what. No, I really, because I, you know, I love doing podcasts with you guys, but I feel too like it makes us more energized to get back together if we give ourselves some time apart, because we absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Well, yeah, that, and you know, it's really, I'm surprised we were able to crank out 20 episodes because, I know you're a recluse right now. I'm definitely not leaving the house more than I absolutely need to. And, you know, Nick, for the most part, is the same. So we need to, I feel like those 20 episodes were, you know, shooting from the hip. Like we needed some time to go live life very slowly to get some content. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, it's true, because you're right. Because every week, you know, like I just sit here and I look at on the internet and I watch TikToks and I stare out my window and I'm not leaving the house. So if one of us goes out and experiences some things, then it's great for the entire podcast. So
yeah.
Well, I'm back to, as of Sunday, I'm back to work. I'm back to traveling full time.
Congratulations, Nick, because yeah. I know it's been a struggle to get to go to these locations that you usually do, because you're gone usually every week. And that is your job. That is how you get paid.
Yeah.
By making these appearances. So I am happy for you on that. The one thing we've never discussed is, what could we do the podcast? I mean, right now we're essentially remotely. We're not together. We're back together, but we're not together in the same room technically. Could we separately, three of us, record an episode when Nick is on the road? Because that would be kind of fun, because you'd be like in San Diego or New York, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would
maybe
be cool.
If I'm not working at the times we want to record it.
Well, that's here's what happens too, is I know Nick, we've been friends for almost 2 decades. And
on and off. Yeah, on and off.
Well, now Nick always brings that up.
Always.
But the thing too is I know him and he's just as big as a goofball, obviously, as we are. I mean, you've heard episodes where you go listen to some previous episodes and you'll get it if you don't know him already from this podcast. He's a great human being. He'll do anything for you. He'll literally give you the shirt off his back if you can, if it'll fit. He doesn't care. He is the salt of the earth, one of the best human beings I will ever know in my life. And I'm going to say this at his eulogy too, by the way. So I'm making an outline. I'm getting ready. No, but he just really is. At the same time, I know him to be a busy man. He's always got things going on. But his strength is not organization. Now, I'm not saying he's not organized. I'm just saying that he doesn't compartmentalize very well. Like, the podcast is the most you have to focus on one thing, usually in the waters of your day. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, usually my day can be complicated. It can be 4 or 5 conference calls. It can be some voiceover sessions, some live TV in the morning, some flying, you know, it just depends what the day throws at you.
And honestly, I look at Nick's videos and when he does the live appearances, I genuinely have a sense of pride for my friend because I know how hard he's worked to get where he is. So I appreciate all that you do. The only issue I ever have with Nick is when we try to communicate, hey, Nick, this is the day we can record. Tell us when you're available, because Andy and I are essentially available every Wednesday. If Nick is available, then that's when we go, hey, yeah, all right. And when you're in town, you and Andy come together. What we probably should do is figure out a way for us to do a podcast all three separately if we need to. Not as a default, but as a in addition. You know what I mean? Because then, you know, if Nick's gone, we'll say, look, Nick's not here this week, so let's talk trash about him. You know what I mean, Andy? That'll be our episode. Yeah. Well, we'll just talk some trash.
Of course.
We'll talk about how British you are.
How brittle his teeth are. You know what I mean? Like, just the things, that all the things we want to say but are too afraid to say.
Yeah, but things Nick, I wouldn't ever say to your face.
Right. But, Nick, sometimes you leave me on read, and I get bummed out, not because I feel like it's all about me, like you're not doing anything or nothing's going on in your life, but it could be for, like, weeks and multiple times that I've tried to communicate with you. And I just want to know, do you still love me?
In phases, yeah. Like, I love you from 9 to 5, but then I turn my phone off.
Well, it's not true, because whenever I try to communicate with you during business hours, it's difficult to just get a, hey, Nick, can you, in the next couple of days, let me know when a good day, like a Wednesday that we can record the podcast would be. And then I don't hear it. I'm ghosted.
Yeah. You know what it's like? It's like this for other people too, though. I get these texts come in and I go, okay, I've got to do that. And then by the time it gets off of the screen, I'm like, it's out of my head. And I go, oh yeah, I've got to do that.
The worst thing is you're scrolling through like TikTok or like some bullshit. People are giving you these, you're better than this. If somebody really thinks a lot of you, they'll make time for you. Like, yeah, what? And then I'll start going, hey, Nick still hasn't replied to my text. What the f-?
I just want to let you know how many times I've said that to chicks? If you really want me in your life, you'll make fun of me.
Now I'm being compared to a chick that won't return your phone call.
No, not that. I've had ladies tell me that too, and I'm like, listen here, ho.
Oh, ho.
I'd be busy.
You're a player, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I bet you got hoes.
Yep. I got a pocket full.
So how do you handle the situation?
You know, I just tell them, well, it depends. If I'm saying it, then that's one thing. But if it's being said to me, I'm like, listen here. I'm 3 times as busy as you are, and you're lucky for me to even be conversating with you. Now get back in line.
See ya.
Now on her end, if she has some self-respect, would you have more respect for her if she said, okay, thanks a lot, I'm out?
No.
If that's the way it's got to be.
No, I would forget her about her as quick as I remembered her.
So there's there's not a respect factor at all.
No, not at all. You're the part of the team where you can kick rocks. You know what I'm saying?
My way or the highway.
Yeah, get in where you fit in, lady.
Now, so Nick, what would you have me do in situations where I'm not able to get a hold of you?
What was happening was when I was on the air, it was going off and going off and going off. And I was trying to get through my phone and do things like look at calendars, and it kept popping up in my phone.
My question is, why do you have any notifications on your phone? I would
it turns the notification off, so I have to go to it, so I don't know.
That's what I do.
Right.
But I don't have, the only, Andy, the only notifications I allow on my phone are Grubhub and my grocery delivery.
That makes sense.
There you are.
Yeah.
So,
thanks
so
for
Nick,
listening.
All
this is me acting surprised.
I love you. I want to respect your time, but I also don't want to feel like one of Andy's hoes.
You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes.
Yeah, you don't want to sign up for that.
What could I do to better communicate with you efficiently so you don't feel like you're being overtaxed?
I think get rid of the 25 pages of text I get every day. I don't know.
I don't text you 25 times. I text you less than anyone in the world.
Not you, but this is the problem I have constantly. So you talk about the amount of texts. Since we've been doing this together, just today, I have had about 7 or 8 texts of people who really need me to call them.
I don't not believe you. I know you're telling the truth, and I know your job is different, but we've both been in broadcasting and dealt with a lot of higher up type people. I can get from radio on the phone within 48 hours. I can't get you on the phone or a text within
And so what does that tell you? That tells you that I'm clearly way more important than
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously you've answered your own question. I wish with all my true heart and honesty that I could spend more time with you and Andy. I really do. And the funny thing is, I'll get phone calls like, so one thing I've been doing is I've been trying to spend more time with my spouse and do more. And
that's a good thing.
Like, you know, so we've been spending about an hour a day baking. As Tiny knows,
Yeah.
Because I just took him through my kitchen today and I offered him a mozzarella and tomato flatbread. Some empanadas, mm-hmm. some brioche bread, some white bread rustic loaf that I made, some scones and sausage rolls and various other things, banana bread and strawberry cake and all these things that we'd made over the last day or so.
Hold on, I have to take a knee. I got to sit down.
Yeah, and I took a video of it. I'll send it to you. It was amazing. I mean, I walk into his house and Nick's like, how can I feed you efficiently? And Nick, he put out a whole spread. It went from his, you remember Nick's house. It went from his refrigerator to the sink. And I'm not good with math, but that's
from the window to the walls.
Yeah, it's about 17 meters worth of food.
Wow.
So we got Paul Hollywood's book from the Great British Baking Show, and we've been doing a bake a day.
Yes!
Or sometimes two. And, you know, something like brioche bread takes about 17 hours to make. So some of
it's
quite.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of proving, overnight proving this thing. Anyway, so we've been spending time. So a lot of the things is I've been dumping up my parents, right? So I made scones and I dropped them off my parents and said, you know, here's a bunch of food, eat it. And my dad called me up yesterday. He says, you know what you could do to really help me out? And I said, what, Dad? He goes, could you make, next time you make scones, could you make cheese scones?
So now he's requesting menu items?
and so Lowell looks at me and goes like, are we on Grubhub all of a sudden? What's going on?
I've got like a giant high ass.
What a visual.
Is it one of those things where you have to spread them and show them Old Glory?
But also on the other hand, I'm now going to be the butthole guy.
Snakes and tongues and women wearing bits of string.
Get up right now for some snacks because we'll be right back.
If you haven't figured out the internet by now, get out.
Yeah, backtogetherpod.com. That one.
You know the internet is my nemesis.
25 hours of original content.
Backtogetherpod.com.
The fact that none of the episodes have made me go to therapy. That's my favorite part.
I really enjoy the fact that sometimes even we don't know what we're talking about.
Find previous episodes and more at backtogetherpod.com.
There's no need to bring your brain here. I've been thinking about and wanting to get more intimate with gummies.
Yes, nice and slow, baby.
Because I'm not drinking during the pandemic. I kind of quit. And to be honest, I don't even know, other than the rare occasion, if I'll really go back to having regular drinks. It just doesn't, you know how sometimes in your life you just have that moment where you're like, maybe this isn't for me anymore. Maybe that's part of something I'm going to say goodbye to. I don't know.
Yeah.
And also, aside from like maybe the occasional situation where like maybe I see Tiny, I don't smoke. Like, because I know I have a fragile respiratory system. You know what I mean? I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, right.
and so the gummies have always been that thing where I'm like, well, now things are legalized where I am. And I just, but the only thing is you have to go to a dispensary. And I don't want to stand in these places are so sought after because it's so new here that they only do cash. Cash only.
Yep.
And you have to stand in a line. And I'm like, hey, unless it's me standing in line to vote for president, I'm not doing it.
It's so funny because a normal person will go, okay. But I can see that would trouble you.
Standing outside in like 30 degree weather is not my idea of a good time.
Right.
And
it's nobody's, but also when you've had gummies once, you always go and stand in a line outside in 30 degree weather.
I won't. Because I'm out. Here's what I did. I got gifted some testing supplies from a friend.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And these gummies are from, I do believe they're from Oregon. I want to say, I don't have the info in front of me, so I'm sorry if I'm misspeaking, but they're called Wild, W-Y-L-D.
Yep, those came from Portland, Oregon.
And they are fantastic. And here's why. Andy, you know, we talked about this on another episode about THC levels and edibles and how it's unpredictable. I don't know how, but these people figured that out.
Yeah.
And it's glorious. Because I live in an apartment now. Not that it's unheard of for people to smoke in an apartment, but I'd be knowing when my neighbors be getting into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can smell the weeds. But these are just like very private. I can do it whenever I have my free time, whatever. And it's just the perfect amount. And I have whatever the kind they have, you know, the kind that you can use. As my friend said, these are for the daytime and these are for the nighttime.
Yep. Your friend knows what's up. Well, but, you know, I got a couple things for you.
Yeah.
One, I haven't used it, but I know people that do use it. There's a website called weedmaps.com. And they put you in contact with your local dispensary and they can have them delivered to you.
Oh.
The second one would be, I'll send you some right now. I'll send straight to your house. Yeah. And see, here's the thing. Aren't you?
And I bet you got hoes.
And edibles. I don't know what the market is like, but here in Portland, we do have the brand name stuff like the Wilds, and there's a few other. Oh man, I forget. I think Wana is another big one. But we have the brand name ones. But being in Portland, it's now kind of shifted. So yes, we can go to the store. I can go all that. Yeah, not a problem. Easy peasy. But it's made almost like the black market again. So basically, what I'm getting at is I haven't spent money in a dispensary in a long time for an edible. I get them brought over, delivered to me, handmade out of the oven.
Whoa.
So I don't know if I'm sure there's situations like that. You just got to know a guy, but there's a ton of independent places. I don't know how they keep in business because I'm sure the OLCC would crack down on them at some point, but, having home delivered, homemade goods, that's where it's at, man, because you can buy them wholesale. You can get a couple bucks a cookie, and it's amazing.
There is a place here called the Waken Bakery, and it's on TikTok all the time. Can COVID be over already so I can go to this place? And yes, Nick, there is a line, but at least at the end of that line, they have iced coffee. They have anything you can imagine. Brownies.
Iced coffee? What about hot coffee?
They have that too. They have everything. It's just, it looks amazing. And I'm like, I want to go to there. But so I had, you know, because I'm very much into the internet. If there's delivery, I was looking for that. And maybe I could help my friend too while doing it. So I went to their website, this Wild place. They have a great website. I think it's, can't remember. If you just look up WYLD weed, I think it comes up on Google. But they have a great website, and I emailed them and said, I told them my story. I was gifted some of your product, and I think it's great. I live in a state that's also legal. Do you have any plans of starting business here, or can it be shipped? I don't know the rules, you know. They got right back to me, and this is why it's a great company. They got right back to me with a very detailed, these are the laws, and this is why we can't. But if you'd like, we could send you some samples of our CBD gummies. And I'm like, oh, Okay, that's very generous. No need to do that. But yeah, okay, I'm not going to tell you no. Absolutely. So they're sending some CBD. I don't know. People always talk about CBD. Oh, it's calming, all that kind of stuff. Am I going to have some kind of a experience on that? What is that all about?
CBD. Well, there's going to be no euphoria. There's going to be no, like, high, and I say that in air quotes.
Right.
The only problem that I have with CBD is that it's not as hopefully, when you get the package, hopefully it says, you know, like 49, 50 milligrams of CBD, and then the THC, there's at least something that registers for the THC, because on the molecular level, you're not going to get the benefit truly of the calming effect and all the, you know, anxiety and depression helping of the CBD unless it's activated by a THC molecule. So I'd be interested to see how you feel if the package said zero THC. I can predict what's going to happen if it has like a 1 or 2 or even 3% THC. Like, in my opinion, that's how it should be. Like, not enough to get you stoned, not enough to make you cackle laugh, but enough for the molecules to bind and for the CBD to actually be activated and work. So there's a wild. The only problem that I have with wild is that they don't have, and I could be wrong. So if I'm correctable, please correct me. I don't know if they have a full spectrum line, which is, you know, there's THC, there's THCA, there's THCB, right. C, D, and so on. And products that use the whole spectrum, those are the ones that really help me. Those really punch you in the face and make you not sad about nothing. are fantastic.
I was just thinking about this. Nick is talking about all this baking. Mm. Nick, in your cookbooks, do you have anything about edibles?
No, but you know, all it is basically fortified butter. You could make it into anything.
Yeah, the stuff that he's making wouldn't necessarily change too much. He would just either swap out the oil or the butter for weed butter or weed oil.
Oh, yes.
I would be here every day, Nick.
Nick.
Every day.
So I won't be making anything with weed butter.
Nick, let's quit our jobs. Let's quit our jobs and invest in a weed bakery. And you would be the face and the voice and all that. And then Andy would be the test. We could be the testing department and anything else that you would need, marketing, whatever. I'm all in. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I'd be happy to test.
Andy and I will do it. And we will bake together, and the bakery will be called Fweedledee and Fweedledum.
Perfect. LLC that mother right now. How do I buy an LLC?
The Back Together Bakery.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes.
Young Andrew probably had the most fun of any of us during our hiatus. You went to Cabo in Mexico?
Cabo went to me. Is better. But yes, I went to Cabo and I lived the life.
Did you go there because of COVID and you just needed to get out? Or had you already planned this?
No, to be honest, the whole thing was just spur of the moment. The doctor that I work under was like, hey man, you want to go to Cabo? And I said, how fast can we get there? And we went there because it's at least at the time, it was one of the only places on earth that didn't require a mandatory like quarantine when you got there and coming back. So
you didn't have to have a 2-week situation and take a bunch of more time off and all that.
No, yeah, which I would have gladly done.
Yeah, but you don't have a job where you can work remotely, really.
Yeah, it would be tough. I mean, there is some remote stuff that we could do, but yeah, it would be increasingly hard because I don't know if it was just where we were, but the Wi-Fi was pretty shoddy.
Oh, dude, I remember when I was there and I was trying to send I was in Cabo and the lobby was the only place where I could get some internet. Mm-hmm. And so I'd go sit in the lobby with my laptop. And for the radio station I was working at, I was uploading like just random clips to send back to the radio show to play in our best of, say it's Marconi, I'm on a vacation in Cabo, blah, 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 blah. And it was just me pre-recorded, edited, and then I couldn't even send the file. That's how bad the internet was.
Wow, yeah, that's bad.
And my room, I remember the room just had like and it was a nice resort kind of situation, all-inclusive kind of stuff, and it had a wall. Mm-hmm. So the guys that were trying to sell you the timeshares couldn't get in. And it still had like one of those like 1980s TVs with the rabbit ears on it.
Yeah, exactly what I had.
But the room was fantastic. Like, it was great. It was a cool hotel. You know, the tile, it was all tile and high ceilings and all that kind of stuff.
The guys trying to sell the timeshares. I remember that. Took up 50% of my vacation.
Yeah, Andy. So you get off. You go there, you get to the airport. Do the timeshare people, because my experience, the ride you get from the airport to your hotel or whatever resort is usually sponsored by some timeshare company.
Yeah, it was tough, man. And the ride was pretty long from the airport. I mean, as soon as we got out of the gate, it started.
Because they're waiting for you, right? They're waiting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're very aggressive and super. Like, hey, my friend, hey, buddy, hey, you need this, you need that. And I'm like, first of all, I don't need anything but a mother taco.
Yeah, sir. Right. I need a taco and a margarita, but a lot of fun. Did you have a guy always telling you about activities, the activities you could do?
Oh, yes. Every 30 seconds, there is an activity.
And what activities did you partake in?
Well, I made friends with a few people down there. I embraced the culture and said, you know what? Sell me. What do you got? Show me what you got. And I ended up, where do I even start, man?
Wait, I have some notes. I have some notes that you left me.
I'm a pretty trusting guy. I could have been taken advantage of, but
you really could have. Some of this stuff, I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, I lived really hard for a week. I really lived life. Like, I did a whole like 6 months worth of living in 5 days. So we were right next to the marina, which is like tourist central. Everyone's selling you stuff. And there were these guys that were selling these boat tours that I ended up buying because
the glass bottom boat.
Yes, exactly. And I hooked up with my buddy Miguel, and he was this nice kid. Like he's like, you know, 18, 19 year old, real nice, cool dude. And, you know, I'm a big pothead. I don't know if you've known that, but no. Like I smoke a lot of weed and a lot.
My gosh. And Nick, did you hear this? Tiny likes weed.
So I asked Miguel, I'm like, so what else do you have for sale? And he's like, went through another like couple pages. Oh, I have this ATV ride. And I'm like, no. I'm from America. What else do you have to sell, Miguel? And like, gave him the wink. And he's like, oh, okay. I have a friend. His name is Mark. He can be here in 15 minutes. I'm like, well, I want
sprinkles
and I want a prostitute and I want it in that order. So the first one, I got a big giant bag of Mexican
sprinkles,
and this guy named Mark came down with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend pulls the bag of
sprinkles
out of her, I think, panties. So we're at the corner of the marina. I can see it right now in front of the restaurant. I'm like, dude, stop. Like, what the f-? There's a cop right behind you. And he looks behind me and he said, that dude? I said, yeah, the cop with the guy. And mind you, the cops down in Mexico don't have like a typical 9mm. This cop had a Mac 10, like a fully automatic, I will shoot you 30 times. And I'm like, dude, you got to chill. There's a cop right there. And he's like, no, dude, you got to chill. Like, watch this. And he took the bag and put it up in the air and kind of like flicked it, like wiggled it in front of the cop. And I'm like, oh, this is it, dude. This is it. First day. And I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
And the cop looked at us and he just smiled and gave us the thumbs up. I'm like, what in the reality is this? And he goes, that guy, that cop over there is on my boss's payroll. He goes,
I see. God.
Like,
oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm like, what? Miguel, what did you hook me up with? What did you do?
Oh, Miguel.
Yeah, come on, Miguel. Why you do me like that? So I met the guy first. I had
sprinkles
in my hands the first 45 minutes I was down in the marina.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you know what, dude? When in Rome. When in Rome. You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes. And this dude, he's the ultimate hustler. He's like, I'm trying to like make a business and like I want a food cart. He goes, if you need some more
sprinkles,
just call me. I'll bring you some hot dogs and
sprinkles.
I'm like, what kind of options are these, sir?
Hot dogs and
sprinkles.
Two?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
I'm, like, no, I'm not going to be hungry, but.
I mean, but in Mexico, are you looking for a hot dog?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is that local culture, a hot dog? I mean,
maybe the locals there are like, yeah, we don't normally get hot dogs as a treat for us. I don't know.
Hey, that's, dude.
I don't mean that. It's not my business, Andy, but you're telling it and you sent me videos during your trip.
Yeah.
And you've put it here in the bullet points of talking about your trip. So I have to ask, because a few episodes prior to this, we were talking about a relationship for you. Mm-hmm. Does this put a damper on that, or is everything cool? I don't
know.
And you don't.
No, everything's gravy. Everything's good.
So you have a person in your life that's like all good about this kind of stuff.
Excuse the correction, but I have three that are okay with it.
You're a player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes.
Look, man, here's the deal. Let me tell you. Let me back up a little bit before we get into it.
Yes.
So, yes, I hired a prostitute in Cabo, Mexico. I have no shame in saying that, because you know, it's girls come easy to me. Girls love me. Okay.
Well, yeah.
It's a gift and a curse, and I'm not. I don't want to come across as misogynist or anything like that. It's just
or
it
cocky
is what it
or
is.
Anything like that. No, you're not.
Right.
No.
It's my life. I mean, if anyone that knows me, they all know that I'm always juggling a handful of chicks. Always. And let's be honest, guys. Tell me right or wrong. If you were to date a girl and take her out on a date and do all that rigmarole, you're going to spend four, five, six, seven, 800, depending on the night and how cool you want to look, up to a grand on a date.
Right,
I mean, at least $100. So why not just give that to a hardworking young lady who is working for herself?
And support.
Like support local.
It's like you're supporting an OnlyFans client in person.
Well, exactly. I feel like I get enough free sex that I should throw the sex industry a bone here and there. You know what I mean?
And the only reason I thought this is because the level of detail that you kind of went into your relationship before.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're sending me not super graphic or anything like that, but you were just like, hey, look, this is what's going on right now. And by the way, the lady that you were doing business with, very attractive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna shell out some coin for that, I mean, you're not gonna get, you know, you're not gonna get a humble 3 out of 10. You know what I mean?
And she seemed to genuinely be enjoying herself.
Yeah. And one of the first things I asked her to do, because it was understandably hot as f- and I was staying in the child's bedroom of the Airbnb.
So that happened.
I don't know. I drew the short straw, I guess. I don't know.
So like
it had two beds.
Like the Airbnb,
so it made sense.
Like, did a family have to evacuate and then you and your friends go in there and like some kid bedroom?
You know how it worked? They all stood around and they went, which one of us is most like a child? Not physically, but mentally. Oh, Andy, you get the child's room.
Yeah, that's me.
So was there like a mobile in there? Was there a crib? Like, what was happening?
There was a trunk full of like squishy toys I had to put away.
I'd sleep in that.
Yeah. So one of the things I asked her to do is I had her start wiping me down with a towel. And I think that's the video that I sent you.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I got it too.
There was spanking. There was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just made me like need to not look directly at you when this video.
Don't make eye contact.
When your eyes look at her.
I can tell you exactly what that is. That, awesome. Those are his judging eyes. That's when he's judging you. You can tell.
I was judging that ass for sure.
And that's when I started feeling, you know, kind of uncomfortable. And not that I'm happy for you, but as a viewer of a video, I felt too, like I was too there. Like I
get to, yeah, the POV was real intimate.
It really was. And yeah. I certainly hope that you utilize this on your OnlyFans because, you know.
It's going up there. It definitely is. And, you know, the only messed up part about it is that she knew about three words of English. Mm. So there's two messed up things.
You know what they were?
Are you about to tell us you lost another tooth?
Close. So close. So like, okay. The situation is what it is. Okay. It's a prostitute. There's a transaction. I'm a customer. Whatever.
Prostitute always sounds so much worse than it should be.
It does. Like, I call her a sex therapist.
There you go. I like that much, much better.
Right. I obtained a sexual therapist for 3 hours.
There you go.
And the thing was, I get it. Like normally she would probably be out of my league. I mean, there's any woman can get it, but she probably wouldn't look at me normally. So she had to use, basically she went through a whole tube of lube.
Because, well, she did.
And the thing,
like,
I don't think
like
I,
how many ounces like a lot, of lube?
At like least a, 12 ounces.
Oh my God.
Like I had to tell her to stop. And let me tell you how I had to tell her to stop. So she only knew a couple of words of English. So imagine me.
Halte.
Big. Halte. Big, giant, and sweaty. And I don't know how to communicate with her. So I have both of us have our cell phones out and I'm telling it into the phone, into Google Translate. Can I slap your ass? And then I have to repeat it to her into Google Translate. You know how hard it is to be in sexy time when you have to say alto and say stop and then say to a cell phone. It's so you really think about what you're going to say when you have to stop. Think about it, put it into Google Translate and hit play for her to hear. Like that situation killed almost the whole time. That's why I couldn't Google
like,
Translate.
Can I please smack your ass, miss?
¿Puedo darte una palmada en el trasero?
I love the inflection. I asked her, I said, will you call me daddy? See, that's all good, like, and cool in the moment when you're with the chick. But if you have to stop what you're doing, say that into your cell phone and then put it into her ear, it really makes you think about what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Do you want to get street hot dogs after this?
¿Quieres comer perritos calientes de la calle después de esto?
I think it's funny that Andy told me that the guy asked him what sex of sex worker he wanted. He could choose.
Yeah. There's guys and girls on the menu.
So you could have had it all.
Yeah, I could have done it all. And the thing is, though, is that the topping on the cake was that, remember a couple minutes ago when I said that she used the whole 12 ounces of lube?
Yeah, well, did you ask her?
It was tequila flavored lube.
How much lube do you need?
¿Cuánto lubricante tienes?
Seriously, I had to ask her to stop. That was one of the things I said in a Google Translate. I said, please, no more lube.
Please, no more lube. Too wet and gushy.
Por favor, no más lubricante para mojar.
Yes. There's a gushy word.
So, you remember that movie Titanic? You remember? So, this is the cherry on top. Remember that part when they were having sex?
Do you
sex?
Remember that movie Titanic?
¿Recuerdas esa película?
I'm sorry.
So, there's a part in the movie where they're having sex in the car and she puts her hand on the window and it leaves a handprint?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember if I sent this to you, but I had to clean lube handprints off of the wall. Because she was on top and using the wall as a brace, and she had so much lube on her hands that it stained the wall.
So that was just like the first 45 minutes, right?
That was night one. That was the first night I was in Cabo.
It's a beautiful, amazing place. But I have never done a parasailing situation. It looked like it was awesome.
You know, the part, it was scary as the part that I didn't anticipate and that freaked me out almost as bad as the whole situation was they didn't tell me that I was going to have to transfer boats in the middle of the ocean, miles and miles and miles away from any kind of help.
Oh my God.
So you know how I Tootsie Roll out of a car?
Yes.
I had to Tootsie Roll into a boat in the middle of the ocean. And that was scary as hell, man. Cause so I'm a big dude. The boat rocked every step I took. The boat rocked.
And were you afraid every step you took, there would be a shark there to eat off your leg or something like that?
Yeah. Something was going to jump up and grab me. I was sure of it.
The thing too, is after you did the glass bottom boat, you see they have all those beautiful fish. Now, I don't know anything about the glass. I mean, I don't know if that whole thing is a setup, if they plant all those fish there, those exotic tropical fish, or if it's naturally there or not. Do you?
I have no idea, but they sold me on it. It was wonderful. You know, honestly, dude, I wouldn't doubt it because they all thought that me and my buddy that I went with were stupid. I went to buy something on one of the side streets. And like, I was seriously looking at like a coffee cup, like a, hey, I went to Cabo and all I got was this stupid coffee cup type of thing. And yeah. I asked him, I said, ¿cuánto es? Like, you know, how much? And he said $125 American. And I started laughing. I'm like, yeah, no, dude, come on. I may look dumb, but I'm not that dumb. I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah. I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah.
But don't they do that thing? Cause I remember when I was a kid, I lived in Tucson. We'd go to Nogales. And you would go to the markets and you could buy stuff for really cheap, but you have to like negotiate first. Like, you know, they might have a t-shirt for, they'd say $45 and you say, 15. And then they'd say 20 and you go, all right, sold. And you give them $20.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it kind of like that?
Every, aside from going, I went to twice. Aside from going to absolutely every transaction was a barter.
But you love it because it's just, you're not home. That's the whole thing. You're doing something outside the country and it's awesome.
I can't believe I parasailed, man. That was some scary.
So you get on this boat, you have to tippy toe into the waters. You think maybe, did you have to jump into the water to get on the other boat or do you have to?
No, normally yes, but they saw that I was a fat gringo. So they pulled it up. Like, I was like, can you please get closer to the boat? Because we're about to have an issue here.
They couldn't just bridge it, like have like a bamboo bridge and just roll you across like a giant sushi roll.
Well, kind of. That's what I ended up doing. They ended up getting kind of frustrated. And he's like, well, fine. And he just brought the other boat and like crashed it into the other boat and tied them together with like a half a string. And he was like, there you go. It's the best I can do. So I like I fat flopped under the other boat.
Oh,
I got one leg over and just kind of like, bah, I just barrel rolled in the rest of it and almost killed everyone. But it was worth it, man. It was worth it. Totally worth it.
You get on this boat and I noticed like is it your coworkers are with you or your doctor and his girlfriend or something like that?
Yeah, the doc that I work for, he went with me.
How cool. So your boss is there with you.
Yeah.
And he's that awesome that you're in Cabo with him. So you're having a great time. And were you terrified to get on this parasailing thing? Because it's pretty high, right?
Yeah, I went super duper high. I was terrified when it became a reality when they're like, okay, come sit down on the back of the boat. I'm like, what the f*** do you mean sit down in the back of the boat? You need to explain this to me, sir. And so I sat down like, you know, like baby Huey. Like I just felt like this big ass kid. And they strapped me up to, they used like the double person gear so that I could fit in it. Yes. And then they just let me go, man. He hit the thing and the slack kept going and I just raised up in the wind, man. And I was up there for like 15 minutes.
Like if they didn't have a length of rope to stop it, I feel like you would have just flown away.
I would have touched the sky for sure.
Like the kid and Up in that house, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's exactly what would have happened. And I was up there for a while, man, a while.
And the video, I'm guessing, doesn't do it justice only because the experience is completely different than seeing somebody up there. But being up there, I wish you had a GoPro so we could see like what it looked like from your vantage point. Because it was the greatest video I've ever seen in my life. Nobody has looked. It was like, I've never seen anybody happier than that, you know, the little kid picture of you that we use for the podcast mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. Until this video. That was the greatest thing ever because, A, I know you don't do this every day. And it looked like everything went your way.
Yeah, the whole experience was a plus, man. I mean, there was I was winning the whole time, and that was such a cool experience. Even them when they reeled me back in, they asked me if I wanted to be dunked, and I got dunked in the water. That was fun.
Oh yeah, because
they reeled me in, man, and that was when I got off the boat. That's one of the funniest videos of me I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's just because you're flying through the air. And you realize how great this is. It's like the first time you're basically weightless, you know, like you're in the air floating, like you'd always wanted to fly. Like this is your dream come true. Finally, it's almost like a special needs child finally got his make-a-wish.
Yeah. I was just about to say it's real close to make-a-wish.
and not your special needs. I'm just saying like, you know, if somebody were to not know you, they might not understand that this wasn't a make-a-wish situation. It was like just a normal adult having a normal adult fun. At a resort. So you're flying and this giant parachute is up, keeping you up in the air. And it seems effortless and really safe, actually. It was weird because, you know, it would terrify me. I would think I'm going to break my leg. I'm going to die, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed perfect. Like it took you out of the boat. You went up really high. It was insanely high. They started reeling you back in, and you spread eagle like you starfished in the sky. Like you're so happy. And then your feet came down and you dipped into the water a little bit. Were you scared that maybe you'd get like a nibble when you came down on your feet or anything like that?
Yeah. I pointed my toes. I'm like, I'm going to make this harder on the shark.
I'm going to kick him in the eyeball.
Yeah, I'm going to kick him right in the f***ing eye.
What was going through your mind as you're up there?
Well, I didn't know when it was. I was getting freaked out because I didn't know when it was going to stop. Like, they just kept letting me go, and I was getting higher and higher. I'm like, okay, guys, like, how f***ing high am I going to go here? And once that stopped, after a couple minutes of, like, kind of acknowledging what's going on, making sure that I'm comfortable in the gear and making sure that whatever I do, not grab the pull cord. I calmed down and then I enjoyed it. It was like such a serene, like almost like a spiritual experience. I was so high in the air. Like the people in the boat looked like little dots. Yeah. And I was just like, oh man, I'm out here doing skinny people. You know what I mean? Like a big dude. A big dude has no right being that high in the air, you know, unless he's falling out of something. And I was up there chilling with the skinny people, man. I felt so liberated. I just felt like I put my arms out like I was a plane. I was making plane noises. I mean, I was like a big ass 5-year-old, man. It was perfect.
What was beautiful. Could you hear when you're up there? Or was it just total wind the whole time?
No, I couldn't hear nothing. I just heard wind. I could hear my own thoughts like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
That's the only thing I could think that might make it better is if you were able to wear like headphones so you could listen to some music or something, you know?
Yeah, that would be cool.
But damn, like when you're up there and it's, who knows, how many stories do you think you were up?
At least 400.
What? My God.
There's no, I mean, I could have grabbed a star.
Wow.
I was high.
And you're way out in the ocean, right? Like you're really far.
Way, like it was the whole trip. So I was up in the air between 10 and 15 minutes and the entire trip took about 2.5 hours.
Oh my God. And plus your friends did it too, right?
No, he just was there to support me and make sure that if he's a doctor. So if I'd have died, what better company? Like at least he would have tried.
It's the greatest thing ever.
He just wanted to make sure I didn't die.
Because I'm like, I would want to go out there too, but I don't know if I would want to do it. And I wouldn't want to have the pressure of people thinking, oh, you're ruining the whole thing. But I would want to see you in person do it. So if I was there, I would definitely want to go.
Yeah. You know, but no, he was like the photog for it. He did the video, the one that I sent you. So he wanted to make sure this was documented. So I appreciated it.
Hell yes. So this guy totally gets you. And you're not just some average Joe to him. You're special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I love that. Oh my God. I'm so glad. Honestly, your personality is so charismatic. I'm not surprised that you have as many friends as you do. I'm just glad that you have so many great friends that aren't, you know, like that guy sounds like he was all about hey, I'm here for fun too, but I'm definitely making sure Andy has a good time.
That's well said. Yeah, it's exactly how, that's exactly it. He kind of babysitted me because I was doing ignorant dude. I was doing
sprinkles
with the meatball guy, and he's like, really, dude? I'm like, here's
player, aren't you? And I bet you got hoes.
He was in the next room over when I was with the prostitute because I asked him, I said, please stay here in case they kick the door down.
Yeah, so she's in the room with you, and you're, I don't know, on this kid's toy box or something?
I was in the kid's room,
Is there, like, a security guy outside the door?
There's a security guard at where you drive in that has a fully automatic machine gun.
No, I mean for her services. Is she on her own, or does she have, somebody with her?
Yeah, no, there is a guy that sat in the car down in the parking lot, absolutely.
Oh, okay, so he's not right outside the door or anything. He's he's expecting her. There's a time limit. Here's what you have. Here's what you do. If you go over it, you owe another whatever you had to pay, and that's it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure if it was like, there's a little bit of like leeway. So, you know, if she was like 15, 20 minutes late, I'm sure I would have heard the, you know, the knock, what the hell's going on, but no, and none of that.
Most of it's he's just making sure she's okay, you know, who knows what's going on. The thing I'm wondering, so it felt safe. It didn't feel like you were in any danger or anything.
No, not at all. No, I felt good.
did you use a, am I in any danger?
Estoy en alguna.
You know, in retrospect, that probably should have been the first thing I asked.
We should grab things up. Sleeves of cookies are no longer doing it for me, you guys. I now require pant legs of cookies.
Boxes. You know, that's genius.
During quarantine, things have changed. What has changed for you?
Pant sizes.
Because
you're now back on TV. Lines. Yeah. Nick, are you up pant sizes and stuff? Are you having to change your pants?
No, but I have to tell you about something, and I'll try and make this quick. So there is a new medication on the market called Qysmira, Qysmia, and they have found, they've done long-term tests with this, and it curbs your appetite, and people are losing crap loads of weight. It's really safe, and it works really well. Mm. My doctor put me on it. It's a long-term med. I've lost 3 pounds in the first 3 days.
Wow.
And I told Andy about it. Andy got really excited. He walked next door to his doctor's office and they denied him the medication.
Yeah.
Why? Like,
of all people, sir, I should have this.
Why? But why were you apparently, denied?
I guess I'm too fat. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Explain yourself right now.
Is it bad for your heart or something? I don't understand.
No, not so much. I mean, there's a stimulant aspect to it, but not, I mean, I was just doing bags of
sprinkles
and Cabo. I mean,
they could have shot you out of a cannon in the ocean and it wouldn't have bothered you.
Yeah, no, I'm good. So, but I can't tell them that. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Can you imagine having to tell your doctor, I just did copious amounts of
sprinkles
in Mexico. My heart's fine, dude.
Yeah. Don't worry about this. We're fine.
I don't know. A lot has changed, but really a lot has remained the same. Will we ever, you know, it's only about 4 months until March, you guys.
Until March? That's a random fact, like until March.
COVID isolation started in March and we're almost up to a year. Yeah.
I get it. Okay, I got it.
It's only about a month until Christmas Day. Just to let you know.
Yeah, it's like 9 until Christmas.
Are you guys going to be celebrating normally this year, Christmas and stuff? No.
If normally means in my house alone with my dogs, yes.
But your parents live nearby. They'll come over, right? You'll have...
Well, doesn't the UK, don't you guys have something different? Like,
yeah, in England, they have National Boxers Day, right?
It's where called you wear Boxing your underwear, Day.
Where your mom gives you new underwear and a sack of coins.
No,
and you get a crumpet.
No, it's days when you box up gifts for the people that service you all year long. No, not prostitutes, Andy. The postman, the policeman, the milkman, the baker.
Tiny, do you have the number to that prostitute? You could send her some things.
I do, actually. She put her number in my phone in case I wanted to round two.
Maybe
she has a friend.
Yeah.
You think that's definitely a burner phone, or have you contacted her?
She had 4 phones. I guarantee that was a burner phone. And every single one of them was covered in lube. It was so awkward.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny. Back together.
Find full episodes everywhere you get your podcasts
at backtogetherpod.com.